Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about James 5, chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Here's how that text reads. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. We pointed out that this was talking about brethren, Christians. The possibility is that one could err from the truth. Those of us who are still in the faith then, our responsibility becomes, according to this verse, to try to convert them back, the brother in Christ who has erred from the truth. If we're able to convert him back, this text says we save a soul from death. The implication is that if we fail to convert him back, if he refuses to be converted back, his soul will die. So, of course, this verse clearly, definitely, teaches the idea of once saved, always saved is not true. Here's a Christian who erred from the truth. If he's not converted back, his soul will die. He'll lose his salvation. It goes on to say that if we're able to convert him back, we shall hide a multitude of sins. Notice that the fallen Christian's sins are not forgiven until he is converted back, until he repents. He's not forgiven unless he repents. So if a Christian falls away and is not willing to repent, he'll be lost. Once saved, always saved is not true. Now, the question I would like to raise tonight, based upon what we learned from James 5, 19 through 20, very clear passage, very easy to understand, talks about a Christian erring from the truth. He'll be lost if he does not repent. How are some ways that a Christian can err from the truth, thereby losing their soul? Well, let me give you an easy example. What about a Christian who becomes gay or starts teaching, for maybe a preacher, starts teaching it is okay for a Christian to be gay? Well, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." This is an absolute statement here. Homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we're not talking about a homosexual who repents and gets forgiven. We're not talking about that. We're talking about one who continues to be a homosexual. They do not repent. And this text is not just talking about non-Christians. It's talking about anybody who becomes a homosexual and practices that. Christian or not Christian, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're going to have to repent if they want to be forgiven. If they don't repent, they'll be lost. That's a way that a Christian can err from the truth. That's one way. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. That number is 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. We're talking about James 5, 19 through 20. It conceives of a Christian who errs from the truth. His soul dies. He loses his salvation if he's not converted back. What are some ways that a Christian can err from the truth? Well, what about a church that allows women to preach from the pulpit? Isn't that erring from the truth? Let me read 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So the woman is not to teach or usurp authority over the man. And when we're talking about a church worship service, if a woman is preaching, she is teaching over men. So she's violating this passage. Somebody that allows this, a church that practices this, they have erred from the truth. These are the kind of things that James 5, 19 through 20 is talking about when it talks about a Christian possibly erring from the truth. We're talking about a person that could become a homosexual, a Christian that could become a homosexual, or a church that digresses and allows women to preach from the pulpit. That's erring from the truth. people, Christians who do that, they lose their soul, according to James 5, 19 through 20, if they don't repent. Now, if you repent, get forgiveness from God, then all is well. But most people don't repent. They stay in the sin that they're in, so they're not forgiven. What about a church that practices sprinkling for baptism? You ever thought about that? Is that erring from the truth? Here's Romans 6, 4 through 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So here the Bible says that we're buried with Christ in baptism. When somebody dies and we take them out of the graveyard, we bury them. Does that mean that we stand them up and sprinkle a little dirt on their head? Or does that mean we put them all the way up under the ground? We know what buried means. So in baptism, baptism is supposed to be a burial all the way up under the ground. As a matter of fact, verse 5 is saying that it's a likeness or a picture of the burial and resurrection of Christ. Now, immersion looks exactly like that. You put them in the water, they go down to the water, it looks like the burial of Christ, and when they come up out of the water, it looks like the resurrection of Christ. That fits the picture. Sprinkling doesn't look anything like the burial and resurrection of Christ. Baptism has to be an immersion. Sprinkling for baptism, that's erring from the truth. One of the ways we can err from the truth, according to James 5, 19 through 20. Travis from Creston, Iowa. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, there's some people with some Churches of Christ or some preachers are preaching it's okay to get divorced and then remarried, for example. There's a group that preaches that, there's several members that there that have been married twice and three times, and I just have a problem with that. And actually, I found a good church in St. Joseph, Missouri, that it's back to the Bible and preaching the truth. And just wondering how you feel about that, about marriage and divorce.
I'm in agreement with you, Travis. How far do you have to drive to get to church to get over there?
105 miles.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, Travis, as you know, it's very clear. It's not ambiguous. He said in Matthew 19:9, for example, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So it's clear that if we divorce our spouse for any reason other than fornication and remarry, we're committing adultery in that second marriage. Travis, you're exactly right.
That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it?
That's plain and simple. Let me ask you a question. Suppose a person does that, they divorce their spouse for, we'll say, incompatibility. That's the most popular divorce calls in Alabama. They divorce their spouse for incompatibility. They remarry. Jesus calls that adultery, right?
That's correct.
Suppose they want to repent and do what's right. What are they going to have to do?
Well, I believe that they can't stay in that second marriage. I believe that they've got to either probably stay single or maybe try to get back with their first spouse, I believe.
Yeah, you know, I think, Travis, by your answer, you show you understand the meaning of the word repentance, what it means.
Right.
See, a lot of people think, oh, okay, I divorced and remarried. This second marriage is adulterous, according to Matthew 19:9, but I can just say I'm sorry and stay in it. They don't understand that repentance means you're making up your mind to try to quit the sin. You can't continue to commit adultery and say you've repented of adultery. That's inconsistent. So the only way you can repent of that, committing adultery, is to stop it. And that would mean, as you said, terminating that second marriage. You quit committing adultery. That's what repentance means. Travis, we're in 100% agreement. And the reason it's important is it's not important that we agree. What's important is that we're agreeing with what Jesus said in Matthew 19:9.
That's true. Okay.
You know, Matthew 19:9 may be hard to practice for some people, but it's not hard to understand, is it?
That's correct. If we want to follow the Bible ways, that's the way we've got. We're different from any other groups out there, and it's a shame. I guess there's only a few of us that are called out, and I appreciate your radio program. I appreciate you still preaching the word, the truth.
Travis,
that's it. So,
Travis, I don't really know of any denominational churches that still stand for the truth on divorce and remarriage. They used to 100 years ago, but they've all compromised. Do you know of any?
Oh, I think they've all compromised. It's
yep.
It's a free for all right now. That's no doubt about it. But God has warned us many times that things like this will start happening. You know, people who claim to confess Christ, but what did Jesus say? I guess I never did know you. Just never did follow the simple commandments of what I've put down through the Holy Spirit. Is that
hey?
But anyway.
Travis, I appreciate your call.
Yep.
I tell you what, now I'm going to say this for you and for all of the audience. I'd love to talk with you further. Maybe you could send me an email at my email address, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Would that be possible?
Oh, that'd be fine. I'll do that sometime.
I'd love to talk to you further. Send me an email. And anybody in the listening audience, if you want to talk to me about the Bible during the week, BibleCrossfire@email.com is my email address. Thank you for your call, Travis.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Chelsea from Henderson, Nevada. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi there. Nobody listen to this man. He's going to hell. He's a liar.
You know, I don't know who she was talking about. Perhaps she was talking about Travis, or perhaps she was talking about me, but all we did was quote Matthew 19:9. That's all Travis did, is quote Matthew 19:9. And so if Travis is a liar, then that would mean Jesus is a liar, because Travis was just agreeing with what Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, that whoever puts away their spouse, their wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. You know, Travis and I, we didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. It's up to us to love God enough to believe what He says and to practice what He says and to obey what He says. Most people claim to be religious don't love God hardly at all. They only agree with God when God says something they agree with. But if God says something like this, like if you divorce your spouse and marry another, you commit adultery, they're not going to agree with that. No way. It doesn't matter that God says it, because their allegiance is not really to God. It's to themselves or to their religion, their denominational church, who's compromised and won't stand for the truth anymore. But this Mark 6:17-18, it says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." This illustrates that Travis was right, that if you find yourself in an unscriptural marriage like this, if you want to do what's right, you're going to have to get out of it. Because John told Herod, who was in an unscriptural marriage, it's not lawful for you to have her. It wasn't just unlawful for him to obtain her, but okay to stay with her. He said it's not lawful for you to have her. So if you want to be right with God, you're going to have to get out of that unscriptural marriage. You can't stay in it. Repentance demands that you try to stop the sin. You can't continue to be an adulterous marriage, because that just continues this practice, this committing of adultery over and over and over. Every time you sleep with that new spouse, you're committing adultery. You want to repent of that and get forgiveness? You got to get out of it. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment about any Bible topic. Now, we were looking at James 5:19-20, that talks about a Christian, a brother in Christ, who errs from the truth. We're to try to convert him back, because it says if he's not converted back, he's going to lose his soul. He'll be lost. We're talking about, well, how can a person err from the truth? How can a Christian err from the truth? Well, what about a church that practices infant baptism? Acts 8:36-37, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water," talking about Philip and the eunuch, "and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So when the eunuch wanted to be baptized, he said, "What's stopping me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe, you may," implying that if you don't believe, you can't believe. You can't be baptized. So infant baptism is unscriptural, because this verse requires the person to be a believer first. Yet many churches practice infant baptism, sprinkling for baptism. They have erred from the truth. These are ways you can err from the truth, according to James 5, 19 and 20. Davin from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, I got a comment on the marriage and remarriage. Now, I believe wholeheartedly what you say between marriage and remarriage, or marriage itself, as far as two Christian folks. Now, you're trying to parallel that with non-Christian folks, and you can't do that.
The Bible Why not?
Says, the Bible says when you're a slave to sin, you were free from righteousness, meaning that when you're in the world, you're not under the commands of God. But our Bible also states in Romans 8, he says when you are a carnality is an enmity against God.
You for your call, David. David is completely wrong. He didn't give us a verse. When you're not a Christian, you're supposed to obey God. And what makes you a sinner is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. So what makes a person a sinner lost is the fact that he's transgressing God's law. So when a non-Christian divorces and remarries, he's committing the sin of adultery. That's what makes him lost, these sins. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, commit adultery. He didn't say if Christians divorce their wife and marry another, they commit adultery. He said whoever. That's non-Christians and Christians. Anybody. Larry from Hamlin, Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, good evening. I have a comment. I read the Bible a lot, and I obey it. And it sounds like, you know, we all slip up and sin, but it sounds like it's all about obeying the Word. And, you know, as far as sin, what did Jesus, the last thing he said to the woman at the well, what was that? He said, go and sin no more. Am I right there or not?
I think you're talking about, that's John 4, but in John 8, the woman taken in adultery, he told her to go and sin no more. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
That's what I mean. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Same difference. Yeah. It doesn't matter who he said it to. Your point is still valid, that our command from God is to go and sin no more. And so I guess the attitude that we see a lot, Larry, is that, well, since nobody's perfect, therefore it's okay to sin. And that's the opposite of what the Bible teaches, isn't it, Larry?
It sure is. And I, you know, everybody's trying to find an easy way out. And they're missing it there, because the easy way out is just to obey what God has told us in His Word. And that's what is so funny about this whole thing is Satan has got everybody convinced that it's easier to do what you wanna, and that goes for the preachers that don't follow His Word. It's all about what I want, not what God wants, and it's all about obeying. I'll let you go, and I sure appreciate your program.
Larry, thanks for your encouragement.
You bet. Have a good evening, and everybody out there, try to obey the Word. Ask forgiveness when you slip up. We'll talk to you later.
You know, Larry is exactly right. The attitude among people who are religious, it seems to be, I don't really necessarily want to do what God says. I don't have to do what God says. I can be religious and still be saved, even if I'm not doing what God says. I do what I want to do. So contrary to what the Word of God teaches. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:9, talking about Jesus, He became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. That implies that if we don't obey Him, we won't be saved. That's pretty simple. John from Bakersfield, California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes. I guess for you, put it in a question form in the first place. According to Christianity, God will accept children, infants, into heaven if they die, correct?
Yeah, because the doctrine of original sin, us inheriting sin from Adam, that was made up by the Catholic Church. It's not taught by the Bible. So the infants and children are completely innocent. They don't have
correct.
To be saved from sin. They don't have any sin.
So an aborted child would go to heaven.
Of course, that's right. The parents are the ones sinning when they abort them.
Oh, fine. Now, but I'm speaking of the child only now. Now, if the child were to be born, it's got a serious hazard of being one of the many the Bible predicts will be bound for hell. Many is, as you already look around the world and see how many Christians you have compared to the rest of the world, many going, and not to mention the so-called Christian families, they are, their children are going to hell too because they don't believe in Jesus. If that child is to be born, it's running a very serious chance of going to hell. If it's aborted, it's hallelujah, home and heaven. There's a plus for abortion.
No, that's not really true, but it is true.
How's it not a plus?
I said it is true that an aborted child automatically goes to heaven. That's true. And they do. But the parents won't go to heaven, so that's not a plus. That's a negative. You don't murder somebody. That's never a positive, because Revelation 21, verse 8 says, murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So it's true the aborted child goes to heaven. He didn't even have a choice about whether or not to live, but the parents committed murder, and therefore they're not going to be saved. Of course, even murder is not the unpardonable sin. They can be forgiven if they're willing to repent. You know, one other way, we're talking about James 5, 19 through 20. How can a Christian err from the truth? Well, the very passage itself suggests a way they can err from the truth. All these churches, that, like the Baptist church is famous for it, that teach once saved, always saved, they're erring from the truth. Because James 5, 19 through 20 talks about a brother in Christ who errs from the truth, and if he's not converted back, his soul will be lost. His soul will die. So that verse proves once saved, always saved is not true. And so any church that teaches once saved, always saved is erring from the truth. And therefore, their soul will die unless they repent. Many ways a person can err from the truth, according to James 5, 19 through 20. We don't want to do that. We don't want to err from the truth. We want to practice the truth. John 8, 32 says, the truth will make us free from sin. Only the truth. Davin, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Brother Patrick, I just called a while ago, but my point is, if we were slaves to sin, we were free from righteousness. So how would you explain it? Do you know that scripture I'm talking about?
Yeah, and if we're slaves to sins, that means we're lost because of our sin.
Now, okay, now, if we're slaves to sin, we were free from righteousness. Now, the law is righteous. What Christ commands is righteous. But if we're if we're slaves to sin, we're in the world. So we're not under the commands of God. Because
when it says we're free from righteousness, it doesn't mean we're not amenable to righteousness. It means we're not practicing righteousness. It means we're not doing it. It means we ought to be doing the righteousness, but we're not doing the righteousness. That's what that means. Free from righteousness doesn't mean we don't need to be righteous. It means we do need to be righteous, but we're not doing it. And so the reason a person is a sinner is because they sin. So here's a person that's not a Christian and he lies. He sins. Here's a person that's not a Christian who commits fornication. That's a sin. If he divorces and remarries, that's a sin. These are the reasons he's lost. That's the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. That's why we're lost, is sin. And one of the sins that causes a person to be lost, if he's involved in it, is adulterous marriage. Jesus said whoever, not just Christians, but whoever puts away their wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. Whoever, not just Christians, everybody says whoever. Keith from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm getting a lot of, I feel like you're being very defensive in all this. I feel like there's a lot of people attacking you. But my quick question is about your comment a little bit ago about children, and we're not born into sin. You're saying that the Catholics just made that up. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, let me read you this verse, Keith. This is Ezekiel 18:20. Says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So that's very clear. We do not inherit sin from our Father or from Adam. The Bible teaches to the contrary. Keith, you still there?
You got me?
Yeah, we only got about 15 seconds. Make it quick.
Okay, you talk about the father of sin, and then you have a father of lies. You're both. So,
yeah. But Satan is the father of lies, but that doesn't prove anybody inherits sin.